Blog Talk Radio.
I am dominating at my fingertips.
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
high! Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of HIAC Talk Radio. I am, of course, the host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me, of course, at Folsom County. There was no mistake made there when creating that Twitter handle. You can also check out the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio. Make sure you also check out the website at HIACTalkRadio.com. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, if that is your thing. And what I'd like to do now is introduce the man who is with me, as always. He is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Calachico.
Thank you, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Hell in the Cell Talk Radio. Find me on Twitter at DanMull83 and Obey the Puck at Obey Puck Show.
That's right. Moving right along, we have our MMA and wrestling analyst, Omega Squad, Chris Green. Omega, how are you this fine evening?
I am stupendous. Follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Alive and well. Still hanging in there. We may be on life support, but that's neither here nor there, hanging.
You know, some people don't even know we're still around.
That's true, Dan. But moving right along,
we're not quite dead.
What I'd like to do now, besides these obvious references to Monty Python, something which I don't enjoy. So please stop.
Oh, Chris, do more.
So please stop. Now,
just off the top, okay.
Okay.
Just stop.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Bring out your dead.
I want to talk.
I'm getting better.
I'm going to talk about the WWE Network.
Oh, okay.
Now, the WWE Network has been in existence now for going on about a week and a half. I think we have had a few, some occasions to watch this. First of all, I just do want to say that I think on PC, it's a wonderful platform. Everything is there for you. It's easily searchable. Unless you search for Chris Benoit, the search for Chris Benoit, check it out. You won't find a darn thing. You won't be able to get right to a Chris Benoit match either. You know how they have the little nodules at the bottom?
Yeah.
Try to get to those Chris Benoit matches. You won't be able to. You got to guess.
If you want to find Chris Benoit, you better work for it.
That's right. That's what they're going to do. But I do have to say it's a wonderful user interface. I love the streaming programs. I love the fact that you can just turn on. Right now, I believe WrestleMania 25 is on or something. I'm not quite certain. But something good is on. There's always programming on. If that isn't your thing, go through the archives, find a pay-per-view, find an old-school card. And I like the fact that you have the schedule there and you can watch whatever's coming up. If it's not quite ready yet, in the archives, you might be able to go ahead a few days and find it and watch it. That's how I watched the next episode of WrestleMania Rewind, which focuses on Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. So that's a little tip. But Dan, you had some problems that you wanted to discuss.
I'm on board with you as far as rollout now. Last week, you know, I was okay. Well, it's working on the computer. It's okay. It'll be fine. Rolled out the Xbox. Couldn't sign on. Fixed the sign on, and now that's a big huge debacle. It constantly freezes. Some people, if they have a certain Xbox, you have to shut the whole thing down. Apparently,
that's me.
Constantly freezes.
I'm a lazy man, Dan. I don't like to get up. I was frozen on the first match of WrestleMania 25 for quite some time. Frozen. Stream doesn't freeze. It's if you go through the archives. It's very odd, very strange.
What part were you just stuck on?
Roman Reigns was hopping the rails.
Just sat there.
Went to sleep.
I'm not getting up. It's almost like, you know what, I agree with you. It's almost like...
My apathy just had the best of me.
It's out of spite. Like, I'm not restarting it. Screw you.
In a way, it is, you know. Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's constantly freezing, and it's also... None of the WCW content is on there. Unless.
No, who cares?
Unless. I do. I found a way to get to at least the Great American Bashes. If you go to the WWE thing and find a back door, just look up the date and you can look up the WCW versions of them. But other than that, it doesn't have all the content. ECW is not on there.
The shows are, though.
The pay-per-views aren't.
Not the pay-per-views, but the show.
The airing of the shows are on, but the pay-per-view archive's not there. And it does this weird thing on my Xbox where it'll go from widescreen high def and it'll zoom in. It'll stay there while the stream's going, and it'll zoom back out to regular view. When I go through the website, no problem. Everything's there. Streams. Only through IE. If I watch it through Chrome, it jumps around a lot. If I watch it through the crappy Internet Explorer, works perfectly. So I don't know.
Chrome is not a supported browser, Omega.
I love it.
No Chrome for you.
No Chrome for you.
Omega, besides now Seinfeld references we've moved on to, what's your experience been? You were very upset with NXT Arrival causing you some headaches.
Like many people, I know this was a widespread problem. My feed froze at that before the Alexander Rusev match or whatever the match was. The
blessing in disguise, if you ever.
Or Elijah Woods. It was Elijah Woods and the other guy, who I can't recall his name right now. You know, the selfie guy. You know what I'm talking about.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Well, him. Anyway, I got to that point, and it would not get off of that. It would freeze. It would skip back, and it was like on a constant loop for 3 or 4 minutes. So I threw up my hands at it and just kind of went away. I never went back and watched the rest of the pay-per-view, or whatever you want to call it.
That was your loss.
The main event
was wonderful.
Well, I'm sure it was, because I like ladder matches. I really do. It's one of my favorite types of matches, so
great.
I'm sure... I do have to go back and watch it, but you know, I will say this for the WWE Network, the user interface is so much better than UFC Fight Pass.
We'll agree.
So much better. I can't stand the UFC Fight Passes.
Canceled my subscription on the 28th, my friend.
Yeah, I held on to it for at least a month.
The archive, is there an archive element to it?
There's an archive. There's you can see stuff.
That won't keep you there, though?
Obviously not, since I clicked the old cancel subscription button.
Yeah.
I got my 2 months' worth. I have a pretty good collection of what I want for USC on DVD.
Well, that's the thing is the carrot for UFC versus the carrot for WWE is vastly different. You know, the only thing I'm getting on Fight Pass is a few prelim cards and some international cards that don't really mean much to most people.
Don't say that. They're very important. If you want to be a completist UFC fan, you need Fight Pass, my friend.
Yeah, but if you're on WWE Network, you're getting WrestleMania 30. You know,
very true.
I mean, there it's just a wide gulf in the content provided right now, and I'm not saying UFC needs to go that way, but the utility I'm getting out of the WWE Network, even though I'm not a guy that goes back and watches the archives, I just getting the pay-per-views will be enough for me to pay $10 a month.
I agree with that.
So,
for sure, let's talk about NXT arrivals now. Chris, you did see the opening match of Cesaro against Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was a great match. I thought there was some ridiculous moves that I really like the spot where Zion goes through the ropes and
into
the uppercut. I thought that was fantastic. I thought Cesaro looked awesome as he generally does, and I think Zion held his own very well. Great chemistry in that match. I thought it was a great great match to start off that card.
Before I get to Dan, I do want to make note that Zion is a 12-year veteran in this sport. Of course, he was El Generico on the independent scene. Many people, Ring of Honor, PWG, he's been everywhere. So he is quite capable. Now, Cesaro, this is an interesting thing. Apparently, people are looking forward to this face run because he's a better face, people are saying. Dan, your thoughts on the match and your thoughts on maybe what I just said?
Well, first of all, what you just said, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I really want to see where this goes with the Americans, the real Americans, and that feud. And I'd like to see Cesaro as a face this, and keep it a long run if it does well. As far as that match, wow. It's the first, sadly and unfortunately, admittedly, the first full match I've seen of El Generico, quote-unquote.
Really?
I've seen clips on, I've seen matches on YouTube where I'll skip through it. Yeah, it's bad.
You skip through an El Generico match. That's interesting.
Well, I try to get to the good parts.
Very interesting. I had the pleasure of seeing two El Generico matches in one day. Now, of course, this was in 2012. It was an Evolve and CZW doubleheader. El Generico and Samurai del Sol took on the Super Smash Brothers in Evolve action. In CZW action, he took on friend of the show, a man who will pop your eyeball out, Masada, the ultra-violent beast. So I had the pleasure of seeing that live. The fact that he is now down there in Florida tearing it up, doing what he does, that is an amazing thing to see. Sammy Callahan is pretty soon. He's not a friend of the show.
No.
No, not at all.
No.
We don't like Sammy Callahan. But the thing is, Solomon Crowe is about ready to debut. He was on the last taping, Dan. So a lot of people around here are excited to see when he finally does, in fact, debut. Are you excited to see the character? No, I think it's interesting, besides personal issues and all that sort of thing, the fact that he is about ready to debut and next stage of his career.
Yeah, I'd like to see where they go with it, where he goes and how far he can take it. NXT is proving to be, no pun intended, a proving ground. And from what I've seen, and I've just gotten into NXT within less than a year, I can't believe some of these guys aren't getting on TV sooner. The only issue being that there's already spots full. I know that, but I'm impressed with these guys. So I'm looking forward to what he can bring to NXT and to the WWE. El Generico, Sammy, whatever his name is. Do you think that El Generico, the gimmick, would ever make an appearance again?
I would hope so.
I was hoping you would say that.
It made no sense to me. When you already had the marketing, you already had this character that people knew, and just to say, no, you're with WWE now, let's get rid of it, it didn't make much sense to me. This is a character that could, he was the generic luchador. There was nothing better and obviously Chris can speak on this, seeing his ability, you know that he is a gifted performer.
It really is. I thought it was a no-brainer when we were first getting news, when you told me he was getting signed. I was like, oh, that's going to be great for TV. And I was very surprised when the gimmick change came out. I hope once, because I don't think it's a matter of if, I think it's when he gets to major TV. I hope that's what they send him in with. I think that's a great gimmick. It's awesome.
It's a great gimmick, as we said. Now, there are rumors. The rumors are a-buzzing with this one. Former CZW World Champion, actually the longest reigning CZW World Champion, has in fact been signed. Drake Younger could be heading down to Florida. Yes, this is a major news that has just broke in the past couple of days.
I hope that would be true.
Drake Younger, of course, he turned himself around, got clean. He's straight edge now. And apparently he caught the eye of Mick Foley not too long ago. They had some Twitter conversations back and forth. Maybe, who knows? This is an interesting thing, an interesting time to be a young wrestler.
It's almost as if, because of NXT, in my opinion, I think there's more people from the outside who didn't ever think of the indies before starting to go, wait a minute, they came from where? And they're starting to look into this again. And it might be the catalyst for some sort of an indie comeback, quote-unquote, to the level, to a higher level.
Where
it was in the late 80s, the late 90s, not 80s, geez.
Do we think that perhaps the advent of the network will get WWE to follow kind of what the UFC has had to do as they create more shows and stuff like that? They had to get more fighters.
True.
So this could be an opportunity for indie wrestlers to get into things like NXT as WWE requires more and more talent to fill the shows of the network that, you know, if they want, especially if they want to continue to generate new content. I mean, I think they have a pretty good bank right now, but they're going to eventually have to do something.
One thing I do want to say is NXT had a very indie feel to it. I think a lot of people have been saying that it felt like, if people know, if you were watching it and you knew what the indies were, because the mainstream crowd, they don't know what the indies are, and they could care less what the indies are, quite frankly, but if you know what an indie is and you saw this, it had a very indie feel. Just your thoughts on that, Dan, because, of course, you have been involved with a few indies.
Oh, I agree. I think it goes back to what I was saying before, that with that indie feel, people are starting to look into the indies, I'm hoping. It seems like there's been this small buzz that is starting to rise up ever since Arrival aired. I'm hoping. It could only be good, I think.
Well, it's time to move on, guys. Nice discussion we had there about the WWE Network and NXT Arrival, but one thing I do want to talk. Personally, I think a guy that should be on NXT Arrival, of course, it's our guest. It is Kate Hill with the Flying Hawaiian. He has been in WWE. He had a skit where he was teaching jiu-jitsu to a certain diva that was there at the time, Marseille. So he has been on WWE TV. But the thing is, I think he really has that talent. He has the look and all that. However, his career has taken... it's one of those hurdles that people find on their career. It's the business. It's what happens in this business. People get hurt. He has an ACL injury. Dan, just your thoughts on, I know, one of your favorite people in this very business. Your thoughts on Kei Koa, the Flying Hawaiian.
Listen, I think this is a hurdle that he'll have no problem, no pun intended, hopping over. He is such an amazing talent. He's also fun in the locker room, keeping the positive mood up. And he was one of those guys when we first got the show together that I literally watched a match with my eyes glued to the ring at the product. He's just amazing, and I really hope this is something that he'll bypass and be champion once again.
Yes, of course, this happened during his reign as ECW heavyweight champion. One of the big goals he did complete, and now back to square one. But we're going to talk to him about all that right after this.
We'll be right back.
joining us at this time. It is, unfortunately, I have to say it this way, but former ECWA heavyweight champion. It is Keikoa, the Flying One. Keikoa, how? I just want to start out with, first of all, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing better than I have been, I guess I'll say. The injury, as you all know, is has been a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. As you probably have already said, that I recently tore my ACL. But what a lot of people haven't, that I really didn't tell anyone yet, other than the fans of ECWA, is that that I developed a blood clot in my leg after the surgery. Now, funny thing is, I always wanted to be a first, or, you know, one of the, you know, like have my own statistic of something. And my surgeon actually came up to me and he goes, "Congratulations, you're the youngest person I've ever had to, and the quickest to develop a blood clot after a surgery." He's like, "I've never seen this before in my entire life, in my entire career." And I said, "Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm glad I could be the first of something." So yeah, I developed a blood clot in my calf, the same leg that I got surgically repaired on, and it's not a big one, but it's, I don't want to know what a big one is, because this one's already absolutely the most excruciating pain that I've ever felt in my life. I mean, like, I woke up the next day after surgery, and when the drugs, you know, was wearing off and I could start to have feeling in my leg, like my foot was killing me, my calf was killing me, and I went to physical therapy the next day, and they're like, "You probably have a blood clot." So I went and got tested and everything, and, yeah, that's exactly what I have.
Well, let's go back.
So lucky me.
What exactly happened, this injury? What caused it? What happened in the ring? Where were you? Let's go back to how this injury happened, how it took place.
Well, before I tell that story, Dan, is Dan here right now?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you sweating?
No. No, I'm not. I knew it was coming. I was just waiting for when.
For anybody that's listening right now, Dan and I have this this ongoing joke that anytime I see him, he's at one point or another sweating. Like, he's just always sweating.
Profusely.
I don't know what it is. Granted, for a while that I was seeing him on occasion every month or whatever, it was in the summers, and it was god awful hot in that building that I would see him in every time. But no, that's just our joke. But going back to what you had asked me. How did I do it? I was down in North Carolina, and unfortunately, more of the details go on about this this story and how it happened. Makes even more horrible that it did. I was down in North Carolina, was defending the ECWA heavyweight title, and the place was sold out. They started actually selling standing tickets only, and I was the main event. They had been building this matchup. Because it was title versus title. It was myself versus a guy by the name of Jimmy Parker with Pure Pro Wrestling. He was their heavyweight champion. And the match started, and about 2 minutes into the match, I went for an up and over. And as soon as I bent down to jump, my knee just gave out. And I was like, "Oh, there it goes." And I knew right from then that there was no way that I was going to be able to get up and finish this match. Like, I just completely felt my knee give out, and as soon as I landed from the up and over, I rolled out of the ring, and they counted me out, and that was it. Now, actually, I had gotten up then after I got counted out, and I was being helped to the back, and I started getting a lot of adrenaline in me, and I think it was because, like, I was so upset with myself, and I was so mad that I'm sending these fans home with a 2-minute main event, and there was nothing that I could do about it. And I started, you know, I actually started walking around, and people were like, you know, "What do we do? Do we, like, you know, do we stop him and, you know, tell him to take it easy on his leg? Cause his leg obviously just gave out, but now he's walking around." So I crawled back in the ring and I was like, "All right, let's go. Like, I think I can do this." And, the promoters were like, you know, no, like, let's take it easy. Like, let's not overdo this, which was, you know, probably the right thing to do. But I, like I said, I had so much adrenaline and I was very upset at what I, you know, just delivered. And then I got on the microphone and I talked to the fans and I told them, like, look, you know, my knee just gave out. I completely apologize to everybody. You know, I just drove down here 8 hours, and obviously this was the last thing that I wanted to happen. And, you know, I hope that when you see my name on the marquee the next time that I can get down here, that you all come back. And I really want to, you know, give everybody back what they should have gotten tonight.
Well, right now, Kay Koa, we do have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and put them on. Caller, go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from. You're on with Kay Koa, the Flying Hawaiian.
Of course I am. I'm calling from upstairs in his apartment.
Well, there you go.
That's Missy Sampson.
Yes, it is. How are you, Missy?
So I just wanted to call it. Well, I'm doing all right. I mean, other than the fact that I got this, you know, crippled guy on my couch downstairs, I just wanted to call in and ask what's for dinner tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow. Well, if you just
what?
Are you able to have solid foods tomorrow yet? I mean, like,
we don't know.
Is that possible? We don't know.
Day by day.
We're gonna have to put off the salmon for now.
Yeah.
So maybe like loaded applesauce. I'm not sure yet.
Yay!
I'm gonna have to check my menus and see what I can whip up tomorrow.
Awesome. Knew I could count on you.
Now, Missy, you're actually coming on a little bit later on. We're having a girls' night coming up on the 19th, so I can't wait for that. That's going to be yourself and Kimberly. So, looking forward
Yay!
To that.
Yay!
Yes, girls' night. It's always a ratings grab.
And Kay Cole can feel free to call in and tell me what's going to be for dinner the night after that.
I would welcome that. Yes, I would welcome that. Do you have anything else for Kay Cole with the Flying Hawaiian?
No, I guess in a few minutes I could get off my lazy butt and walk downstairs if I had anything else.
That is true.
I mean, he's too crippled for me to, like, tell him to, like, take out the trash. I had to do that by myself.
Oh, my goodness. Is he milking this, Missy? Let's have the scoop. Is he milking this injury?
All right, you want the truth? So, I'm trying to think. Monday. I think it was Monday.
Oh boy.
I called him a drama queen and told him to stop milking it. So he woke up Tuesday morning, put his foot off the bed, put his 2 feet side by side and took a picture and sent it to me going, "Do you still think I'm a drama queen?" And his left foot, now mind you, his surgery was on his knee. His left foot, he doesn't have an ankle, he's got a cankle. And his foot and his cankle were purple.
Okay.
Ow.
So...
Well, there you go. I don't think he's milking it after hearing that. Missy, it's always a pleasure when you call in because you never know who's going to follow you in. I have another caller. I don't think they want to speak, though, so we'll find out. We'll find out about that. But, Missy, thank you so much, and I can't wait until the 19th.
Aw, thanks. Bye, guys. Hey, Kenny,
bye.
I'll see you in a few minutes.
All right, darling.
Love you. Bye.
Love you.
Okay, that was, of course, independent women's superstar. She's a former Blow champion. That's what I heard.
Now I know Missy that Dan's Sampson. Wedding after that.
Dan,
I heard the voice and the sweat was dripping in my eyes. he sounds so thrilled. Did you know right away that it was as it was going to be, or did any part of you really hope, this will be okay, in a couple days I'll feel better?
No, I knew right away. And the reason that I knew right away was because I had actually was getting my knee looked at prior to that match. I had this, and I don't even want to call it pain. It was just like this annoying, almost like knot in the back of my knee that had been bothering me probably since, you know, late summer, early fall. And I had been just going through it because I didn't have any restrictions. I was still doing sports around my valley. I was still wrestling, and there wasn't an issue. But then in the match that I had with Atu a couple months back, I believe that was the December, I got choke slammed off the top, and when my foot landed or whatever, it shocked my whole knee, and I could feel something, and I'm like, I should probably get this checked out. Well, stupid me, I didn't get it checked out right away. And then when I wrestled Ricky Martinez last month, I got slammed again on my leg, and it jolted, and this time a lot worse. And I'm like, okay, I really need to get this checked out. And mind you, every time that I jammed it or anything, the next morning, it would just go back to that same annoyance. It wasn't actually a pain. So I was getting my knee checked out. I had already gotten an MRI, and then they had told me that I have a slightly torn ACL, and then I was having a doctor visit, a surgeon or a doctor visit on that Tuesday then. So literally in 3 days, two, 3 days, from the show that I had in North Carolina to see, okay, well, what's next in our, you know, what do we got to do? And then that's when that weekend, once I jumped down and my knee gave out, I was like, oh, there goes my ACL. And then my uncle is actually a chiropractor, and I called him, and he gave me a couple tests to do, like, you know, does it hurt when you do this or does it hurt when you do that? And he's like, yeah, from what you're telling me, it seems like your ACL. And that's exactly what it was. And luckily it was only that. Like, I didn't tear my meniscus or anything of that sort. I didn't do anything else. It was just my ACL, so I lucked out. In a way.
You lucked. Yeah, in a way. I think I know the type of answer I'm going to get, but I'm curious anyway. Was there any point in the last couple of weeks where you thought that you were going to hang it up, or is this something you knew you could come back from?
No, I mean, I definitely know that I can come back from this. There were thoughts in my head, like, as I'm getting over this blood clot, where I'm like, you know, I don't know how people do this. But then at the same time, like, you know, I'm not sure if other people have developed blood clots this quickly while they were getting over ACLs or if they developed them at all. But this thing is kicking my ass. Like, I can't believe how much pain that this kind of thing causes. Those first couple days were absolute hell. And to me, it was like, because my surgeon had originally told me that, you know, if things go according to plan, exactly how they're supposed to, that it's possible I could be back in 6 months. And then with those first couple days, I'm like, how the hell does he expect me to come back in 6 months? These first 3 days, like, I don't even want to move. Like, I don't know how this is possible. And then at the same time, like, once you calm down and relax, you're like, 6 months is a long time. But, you know, after talking with my uncle about what's going on, he's like, 6 months is very optimistic. It's not impossible, but it's optimistic. So I'm more or less just focused on just doing what the doctors tell me and, you know, not coming back a day sooner than I should. You know, like, I don't want to come in, you know, 4 months but be wearing, you know, this big-ass Stone Cold Austin brace on my leg. You know, like, I don't have to do that. He did. You know what I mean? Like, he's a lot more needed than I am. Nobody needs me. You know, the independent wrestling scene will be perfectly fine without me. So I want to make sure that I'm 100% able to do everything that I need to do in the ring before I come back.
All right, now I do have another caller. I'm going to go ahead and get them on KCOA. Caller, go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from. You're talking with KCOA, the Flying Hawaiian.
This is KCOA's mom.
All right. Hello, KCOA's mom.
Gotcha.
Hi, mom. I finally got you.
Never talks about how he started.
Well, can KCOA's mom tell us how he started?
Yeah, let's hear that.
There we go.
Yeah, he was 2 years old, and he watched WWF at the time. I told his father, do not let him watch that. It's too violent. And it just took him the one time, and that was it. He was hooked. Completely hooked at 2 years old.
Wow.
He had every little wrestler guy. He had his wrestling ring. He would make Royal Rumbles with all his guys. And I would clean the house up, and he would say, don't touch my guys. I'm having a Royal Rumble tomorrow.
Now,
and I'm like, okay, we won't touch them. He would have them all lined up. And he was the commentator. And he had wrestling matches in the house. What was the ECWA that you had written on all the... I forget what you call it. He made up his own
East Coast Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, that's what it was. I still have a metal chair that he put that on and he signed.
That's cool.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You have some memorabilia there. Now, Keikoa's mom, I do want to ask the question, were you always supportive of Keikoa when he decided to do this, that this was what he wanted to do?
In the beginning, I told him, go to college. It's a pipe dream. I did, because he wasn't very big, and I didn't think he would ever get anywhere, but that's when he was younger, and he was just a scrawny little kid. Then as he got older, yeah, I was behind him 100%, wasn't I, Keikoa?
Yeah, after things, started coming together and everything of that sort. You also missed that I was wasting my life. I always liked that line.
Oh, yeah. You're just wasting. I told him to be a NASCAR driver, actually.
Wow. Keikoa with a fly-in driver. I like that.
Yeah, I said.
And it was funny because I came home from training one day. I was still living at home when I was training to be a wrestler. And I came home and I had gotten the crap kicked out of me by my trainers. And I came home and my mom saw me, like, barely being able to walk. And she's like, you need to quit this now. She's like, I can't believe you're still doing this. Like, look how beaten you come home. Like, this is ridiculous. And I'm like, Ma, if you wanted me to be a NASCAR driver and I got in a car accident and I broke my leg, what would you tell me to quit then? That's a completely different story. That is a completely different story. That's not the same thing.
I was there from the time you printed your very first T-shirt behind your back. So you know I've been supportive ever since you started. What were you, 19? Then?
18 I started.
Yeah, I would go to his matches, and I would be complete. Matter of fact, I was the one making the most noise, and he would just kind of look at me like, his mom, shut up.
I've been there. Yeah,
he,
I have
he
been there.
He hear me over everybody. But he did. He started very, very young, and he would take over my whole house, and I would be, like, locked in my room. And I used to have to open the door and say, hey, you know, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, can I come out?
We were filming. Come on.
I know, they were filming. Big, long hallway, and they had the lights and the entrance thing. They all had their own music. It was a whole big thing. That for hours, you know, I'd be like, it's cold. You know, the door would be closed, and it's winter, and we had a coal stove. And I'm like, it's getting cold in here. Can we let some heat in? Hello? But they were all nice about it. And they gave me a big party once. It was nice.
That is something else. Do you have anything else you want to tell us, Keikoa's mom?
Every piece of furniture in my house.
Oh, God.
Well, you knew that was coming.
Yeah.
He knows that. I tell everybody that. He broke he broke everything. And then he used to sneak the cushions out of the camper when I told him not to use those, and he'd cover them with blankets so I wouldn't know he was using them. Weren't
funny.
You, dear? My
Weren't
son,
you?
My...
Do you have one last final tidbit for Keikoa before I let you go?
He's a very determined young man, and I would believe he's not going to let this injury stop him.
Thank you, Mother.
I believe that as well. It was a pleasure speaking with Keikoa, the Flying Hawaiian's mom. I enjoyed this so much. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Goodbye, my son.
Love you.
Love you, too.
So, everyone, that is a first. We had a wrestler's mom call in here live on HIAC Talk Radio. That was precious. That was precious, Keikoa.
And now that she's off the air, I'm going to tell a quick story about, as she was saying, that I used to take over the house and everything of that sort. We had this mantle over the coal stove where there was, like, pictures and, different, like, you know, decor things of the house or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
we would always have to take that stuff down because it was fragile, you know, just in case, you know, it knocked off the mantle or whatever. And I would always put it back, and she kept yelling at me every time that I would put it back that it wasn't exactly the way I put it back. Like, it wasn't exactly the way that I took it down. So the one time that me and my buddies were doing a little wrestling show or whatever, I took a picture of the mantle so I knew exactly where everything was supposed to go so that my mom wouldn't yell at me. And I put everything back the way it was supposed to go, and yet she still came down that damn hall and was like, "Hey, Kella, I swear to God, that is not supposed to go there." And I'm like, "Oh, Mom, I took a picture. It's right here." "Well, then it was in the wrong place originally. I don't know why it was there, but that's not where it goes." "Of course, Mother. Of course not." "Thanks, Mom."
Okay, now I do want to go back to when you won the title. You, of course, won it from a mainstay, from the man in ECWA, a lot of people would say. When you think of ECWA, you think of the Greek god Papadon, but you won it from the Greek god, kind of a passing of the torch, a lot of people would say, a 40-minute classic. What were your thoughts of finally winning the ECWA heavyweight title after being there for, what, nearly 3 years?
Yeah, I think almost 3 years it's been now. It's that very first moment when you hear the three count, and then you just kind of like roll over, and you're like, "All right, you did it. Like, this is everything that you've been working for. Like, you finally did it." And I rolled over, and I actually have a picture of this in my home. I Instagrammed it also. I had it printed and framed and everything, because I think it's a very surreal moment. I was sitting up, and referee Mike Keener comes over, and he goes to hand me the belt. And the picture is behind me, and I'm just looking up at the belt, and he's finally handing it over to me. And it's such a moment that you're like, you know, because everybody that's been in this business, or even just in general, like, you know, in real jobs, anything of that sort, you work for something, and you make these sacrifices, and you know, and there's always one day or many days that you kind of question yourself and you're like, "Is this really worth it? Like, am I making these sacrifices for the right reasons?" And then it's those moments where you're finally like, yes, it everything was worth it. You know, it's just like, you know, having a 9-to-5 job, making sure that you're on time every day, making sure you're doing your work, you're turning your stuff in on time. And then, like, you wonder, like, is this just a job, or am I doing this for a reason? And then sooner or later, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get a promotion. I guess that's how it works in the world of professional wrestling. You know, you do everything that you think is right, and you work hard, and, you know, sometimes it pays off and sometimes it doesn't. And unfortunately for me, I got to be the fortunate one.
It always amazes me in a long match that there's nothing ever that you've seen before in that match. Any time in that match with Papadon, did you run out of idea? How do you guys do it? Do you come up with everything ahead of time? Do you talk it out? How do you perform in a match that amazing?
I mean, the best advice that I could give for something that's so long, because honestly, I didn't think it was going to go 42 minutes. That went a lot longer than I thought it was going to go. But when you're kind of like, you're coming up with what exactly that you want to do and everything of that sort, you just kind of necessarily go in with a game plan, and then you kind of follow it along, and then if it works, it works. Papadon, I know, is so damn talented that if the game plan that we go in with doesn't necessarily work, that we could easily just come up with something on the fly. But, you know, we went in with a game plan and we nailed it. So it wasn't necessary. It just worked. You know, that's really all I can say. It just worked that night.
All right. What I want to do now is, some people did get back to your Facebook post earlier on, so I want to give the opportunity to answer some of those questions. Now, Susan Wilson Fagan said, "When are you coming to Jasper, Tennessee again to wrestle?" Obviously, she might not know about the injury, but...
Yeah. well, honestly, I mean, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, I wasn't injured. I had no plans on returning to Tennessee anytime soon. So, quite honestly, I don't know if or when I'll ever return to Tennessee, because in 7 years I've only been to Tennessee once. So I'm not saying that, you know, obviously, like, I can't get booked out there, but it's such a long drive.
It is.
And with how the indies are right now, it's like, you know, can it be financially worth it? You know what I mean? At the time it was, because I was the world tag team champion of Allied Independent Wrestling Federation. So I, you know, had to do what I had to do as a world champion and go defend it wherever I was told to do. But now that I'm not a champion, it's, you know, a whole different ball game. And so I don't know. I guess the road will tell me.
Well, you made quite an impression on Susan, apparently. Now, James Brickhouse, he asked, rather, what was your main ambition to become a professional wrestler?
To be honest, I think my main ambition was to prove everybody wrong, because it was a dream of mine. You know, as my mom said, it's always been. But I think my main ambition was to prove everybody wrong that I could do this and I could be good at it. You know, I wanted to prove my mom wrong. I wanted to prove everybody at my high school wrong, because I had teachers telling me that I was too small, and I had teachers thinking, like, you know, it's just a dream, you know. And then I had girlfriends that would break up with me and say that I'm too devoted to it, you know, that I don't give enough time to them, and, you know, it's not going to be worth it, and blah, blah, blah. So I just wanted to prove everybody. I just wanted to prove everybody wrong. And it was funny, actually. I had went to a show to go just watch as a fan the other week before my surgery, and I had actually seen a buddy of mine that I grew up with since elementary school, and we went to elementary school together, high school together, and I haven't seen him since we graduated in 2006, and we were catching up, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, we're friends on Facebook," and he's like, "I saw that you're wrestling," and he's like, I saw you on WWE a couple times. I saw that you went overseas to Europe. He's like, I can't believe that you're doing all this. And he's like, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. When you told me you wanted to be a wrestler in high school, I didn't think you were going to do anything with it. He's like, I thought you were going to just, you know, maybe do it for a year or so and then quit. And he's like, but I'm so glad that, like, you're doing so well with it, because I didn't expect you to do anything with it. And that obviously just gave me a really good feeling, because, you know, he was just another statistic. So definitely just, you know, wanting to prove people wrong and say that I could do something that I put my mind to.
Awesome. Now, James Brickhouse also does ask, superstars of past or present, who do you look up to the most? And I believe I know one of them. I'll answer one for Mr. Brickhouse, and that is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yes. It was definitely Steamboat after I got trained. And a lot of people were saying that I have a lot of mannerisms like Steamboat, and I should start, you know, doing more research on him, which I definitely did. And love watching Ricky's matches. Unbelievable. But growing up, it was Shawn Michaels as a kid. And, after I got trained also, it was Ric Flair. Learning about his story was incredible. It was funny, actually, because for those of you that weren't in attendance at ECWA, when I was giving my speech of handing the title over and everything of that sort, I had said that, you know, growing up, I wanted to be Shawn Michaels, and I wanted to be exactly like Shawn Michaels. And then I said, but I didn't mean to the point that I was going to lose my smile, get a knee injury, and have to hand over a title. I didn't mean that literally, but
yeah.
Apparently somebody was listening too much. But yeah, those are my past and present wrestlers that I look up to.
Now, someone we all know, a friend of the show here, Matt Saigon, he asked, your ultimate dream match.
Well, I can't say me versus Matt Saigon as much as he wants me to put him over, because we've already wrestled a few times. So my ultimate dream match would either just be against Shawn Michaels or Ricky Steamboat or Ric Flair in a one-on-one contest, and in their prime, not now. I mean, if it's now, you know, I'll definitely take it. I'll do it on one leg if I have to, but in their prime, one of those three men would be absolutely amazing.
Anybody now that you have your eye on? Maybe somebody from NXT, maybe somebody... well, NXT, some of those guys were your peers not too long ago, but anybody now that you go, that would be a great match if I could get them.
I mean, I think there's just so many guys that are just so talented, you know, especially like on NXT and, you know, in a Ring of Honor and everything of that sort. And it's so hard to say, you know, who would you pick? Like, it's so hard to narrow it down. Then there's also guys that, you know, for some reason, two guys can get in a ring and have the greatest chemistry ever. And they might not even be, like, you know, the greatest wrestler of all time or anything of that sort. They just might be, just two guys just might have it together, you know. And it's hard because it might be somebody that nobody expects. So it's really hard to pick. You know, I mean, other than the three that I've already named, it's really hard to pick. But I wish I could. I mean, the list would just go on.
You know what's amazing about you? Just this past week, I've heard two different individuals. One was Ron Starr, and the other was Xavier Cross. Just go and tell me how much they enjoyed working with you. What type of compliment is that when you hear that from your peers in the industry, when they look back? Like, I know Xavier Cross today, I did a shoot interview with him that's going to be coming out in the near future, where that match you had with him in the New Moon Rising Wrestling Tournament, he really looks back on as one of his top matches. I mean, what kind of compliment is that, hearing that from your peers?
I mean, it's so humbling to hear. And it's such like a, it's such an uplifting motivator to keep going with what I'm doing. I even messaged Ron Starr personally after he had made that comment on my status of my injury, saying that you know, I'm one of his favorite matches of all time or whatever, and we did something so small and made it something big. You know, I messaged him, I thanked him, because it's such like a, and especially it's somebody, you know, Ron Starr, you know, great guy. Obviously, I can't say that he's a very close friend of mine, unfortunately. That's what makes it more meaningful to me, because it's not like, you know, a buddy of mine saying, like, you know, I love getting in the ring with you, man. Like, it's awesome. You know, like, yeah, you know, it's great to hear, but you're my best friend. You're one of my best friends also. Like, you could just be Josh and me. But when you get somebody that's not a close friend of yours, and he's honestly just a peer, as you said, you know, it's somebody that you got to get in the ring with and do what you both love. And just to hear that is it's something that's like, it just makes you reassure yourself that maybe you are on the right path, because there's so many people in this business that won't open up their mouth to you to tell you that if you did something right or if you did something wrong. And especially if you did something wrong, you know, there's so many guys that just want to stay quiet. But then once they get in front of their peers, they're like, oh, this kid, you know, what an idiot he was, or what an asshole he was. And pardon my friend. You know, so yeah, like I said, it's the best feeling and compliment that you could get in this business, in my opinion.
All right. Now, Dylan Quinn, wrapping this section up of the Facebook questions, Dylan Quinn asked, have you ever worked with Sami Callihan in a match or on a show with him? What was he like?
I feel like I've been on the same show as him. Maybe
I
like
think you worked
I
the
did.
CZW show, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was on the same show. But unfortunately, I didn't, you know, really get to interact with him that much at this show. Like, that was probably the only time, if he was there, that I got to meet him. So, no, I haven't wrestled with him, and I didn't really get to interact with him. So I honestly have no opinion. So, normal guy, I guess.
Yeah. So, one thing I did want to ask was, you got the title, and then you had to give up one of the goals. You didn't lose it. It wasn't a Booker's decision. It was an injury. What was that like? I know disappointment, obviously, but when you had to give up something you worked so hard to attain.
I mean, it was one of the hardest moments in my career to hand over something that you didn't rightfully lose. Like, it's still mine, you know, in my head. And whoever gets the opportunity next, you know, you're welcome. you know, I'm such an optimistic person. I'm really trying to stay as positive as I can with this whole thing. I had to hand that over. I was supposed to be in the AIWF Crazy Eight tournament next month, or this month, I believe. Obviously I had to take my name out of that. And I was supposed to go back to Europe. So obviously I'm not doing that either. It was a big domino effect that, like, you know, I'm really missing a lot of stuff here. And, I for those of you who don't know, like, I play soft toss softball, like, around the valley or whatever, around my hometown or whatever, to do something, like, during the week and stay active. And I hang out with friends and stuff like that. So I'm missing all my summer leagues and stuff. But going back to, like, just being optimistic, I mean, like, I know that so many, like, everything happens for a reason. I'm one of those people that firmly believes that. And the reason being is because, to make a long story short, if it wasn't for a car accident that I had at age 16, I might have never became a professional wrestler. It's a series of events that led me to get to, training to be a wrestler. And if it wasn't for that car accident, it would have never have happened. So I know that this knee injury is for something bigger. I obviously don't know what yet, or maybe it already has started to develop. I'm not sure. But I know that there's a plan for me. I don't know what it is yet, but I can't wait to find out what it is.
That is amazingly positive. Now, what are you going to do? Obviously, you have rehab coming up, but what are you going to do in your spare time? Are you going to start writing comedy, maybe go back to the brew works there? I mean, what are you going to do to keep busy?
Well, right now my schedule is actually really full. I had a really long series of Call of Duty games earlier this afternoon. I just started a new career in Madden NFL, so that's going to be filling up my schedule for tomorrow. I already beat Guitar Hero again and beat Rock Band again. So needless to say, video games have really been filling up my time as I sit on the couch. I already finished Breaking Bad, the final season, which, by the way, I thought the finale wasn't up to the hype. Everyone was putting it over as, like, one of the greatest things. I mean, granted, yes, it was a good episode, but I don't think Breaking Bad holds a candlestick to, like, the finales and the storyline that Walking Dead has. I think Walking Dead is a far better show, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree there.
I honestly think because there's so many more characters in The Walking Dead that's, like, the focus is on all the time and not necessarily, like, Breaking Bad. Like, you know, you had Walter White, you had Jesse. Those were the main two. And, you know, the family was in every now and then, but not like Walking Dead, where everyone's together all the time. You know, I think that's why maybe the story is just better with that show. But I'm getting to do things that, I didn't get to do when I was, when I'm an active wrestler, because, you know, I work, I go to the gym, I come home, I make myself dinner, and it's almost time to go to bed. Like, that's how busy my day is. And I always wanted to play video games more, but, you know, I'm busy. Or, actually, I haven't been watching my carb number, so I'm actually eating like a fat kid, like I've always wanted to. So I'm going to get fat for a little bit. That's also on my to-do list. But other than that, other than play video games, get fat, and, you know, wait until I can walk again and get back to the gym, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do. I think that's really it. I don't think I'm going to write more comedy skits because I can't stand up to do stand-up.
and I don't want to sit on a bench. I think that's boring. I like to be more moving around. So we'll see. Maybe just be a normal person for a little bit. You know, like go do stuff on the weekends since I'm, you know, not a wrestler. Which is funny because my ex-girlfriend was always like, you know, I always want to do stuff on the weekends. And you always have your wrestling. Well, she should have stuck around a little longer because now I'm not doing anything on the weekend. Yeah, well, she's gone.
Well, you know, good riddance.
What do you want to do?
I know you said 6 weeks. I'm sorry, 6 months, they said, for full recovery. But when are you going to be able to get up and actually walk around again?
Well, I mean, the surgeon's saying, like, if I can put weight on my foot, by all means, go ahead. But he's also forgetting about this damn blood clot. You know, the clot is what's killing me. If I didn't have that right now, then I could probably almost be walking around. Like, I would want to try it more. But as Missy said, like, you know, just me taking the dogs out and standing for probably a total of less than 5 minutes of just taking them outside, and I come back upstairs, and my foot's purple. You know, so it's hard to judge. And it's hard to judge whenever this thing is going to go away. You know, it's going to take a couple weeks. It's going to take longer than I expected. But I feel like once I can finally get on my feet, that I might be a little more active with my recovery. You know, maybe do my stretching like twice a day rather than once, or maybe, you know, do physical therapy like, you know, at the hospital or whatever, wherever I go, and then, you know, maybe do weights the next day, like very light stuff, or just repeat it, you know. We'll see. So just walking in general, I feel like it's going to take maybe, you know, another 2-3 weeks, depending on whenever this clot goes away. So hopefully sooner than later. They're ordering me this device to go around my leg to help, like, pulse the blood through, I guess, so it heals faster. So hopefully this thing works.
All right, now, Keiko, if people want to follow you on the road to recovery, when you can walk again and you can get back in the ring, where can people follow you?
Well, if you want to add me on Facebook, you can search for Keiko with the Flying Hawaiian, or you can go to facebook.com/FlyingH. You can also follow me on Twitter, which is @KeikoaFH. And you can also follow me on Instagram, which I believe is the same thing, @KeikoaFH. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I normally don't plug my Instagram, but I've been putting a lot of stuff on there. Oh, and you can follow me on Vine. I started doing Vine videos a little while ago. You can follow me on Vine, which is @KeikoaFH. Dan, do you follow me on Vine?
Yeah.
How am I doing? I feel like I should have more followers than I do. I only have like 62 followers. I feel like I should have more than that by now. But
no, man, your timing is impeccable. They're great, and they always make me laugh out loud. I think it's just people aren't really following Vine that follow you.
Yeah, I mean, like those, some of the people on like the popular pages or whatever, like that are on Vine, like they literally make videos like, they wake up and then they're like, "Hey, you have a good day today." And they have like 30,000 revines, and I'm like, "What the hell was that? Like, come on!" And it's just because they already have the followers, and it's just like, God damn it! So I'm working on it. I'm working. I don't know if it's good or not. I only like putting like good ideas. I'm not one of those popular people I can just put anything and then get, you know, a great feedback. But I wanted to make a video today like, sprinters be like, and then like show my cast and be like, well, never mind, I'm not doing that shit. You know what I mean? Like, something stupid like that. I don't know.
I followed you on Vine because you put it copies automatically to Instagram. You did something with the automatic paper towel dispenser that for some reason that cracked me up. So I've been following you ever since. And yeah, I've noticed that it's not getting followed a lot, but I just think it's because the people that follow you just don't use Vine. Because it's hilarious.
So then, please tell me then you popped for my snowplowers Vine then. I know you had to have popped for that. You're a huge Ghostbuster fan like I am.
Oh, yeah.
You had to have popped for that.
Oh, God, yeah. Kelly, look at this. This is hilarious. She's like, yeah, it's funny.
Dean, did you see it?
I did not, unfortunately. I'm not much of a Vine guy.
Ugh.
I made a vine. I said snowplowers be like, and then it was a shot, like different shots of Ghostbusters. It was Egon going look, and then Ray like giving a look, and then Winston going oh no, and then it was Ray going I think we're gonna have to put a little overtime in on this one. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what they got to do.
There you go.
I thought of that in my car, and I started dying hysterically, and I was like, yes, I can't wait to get home. I want to film this. And I have a $300 sound bar that shakes the whole damn house, and I'm filming this at like 10:30 at night, and Missy's sleeping.
Oh.
And, you know, I got to make sure that the volume's loud enough so that it's good on there. And she texts me, and she's like, can you please turn down that damn TV? And I'm like, I'm filming a Vine. Give me a minute.
No, it's very – I think it's entertaining. You keep it up with it. And your Instagram is FlyingH50.
Ah, that is correct. That is correct. FlyingH50.
Well, I'm glad we got the clarification there. Keikoa, thank you so much for your time. We're going to make it a lot sooner next time, hopefully, when you announce your return to the ring.
Well, maybe I won't announce it. Maybe I'll keep it quiet, and people should just keep coming back to the shows so that sooner or later I'll all of a sudden pop out of nowhere. Oh, I already told Facebook that I'm returning at the Royal Rumble and I'm doing DDP yoga. That's what every wrestler does when they get hurt.
That's true. You know? I can't wait to see the results of DDP yoga with this flying Hawaiian. That's for sure.
That's good, Keikoa.
Keikoa, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You too now. And Dan is indeed sweating.
Yeah.
I'm sure he is. All right, mahalo.
The Flying Hawaiian, very positive despite his setback. Dan, I know he's one of your favorites.
No, it's always good to hear from him. It's unfortunate that I can't be closer north to see a lot of these guys, and he's one of those guys when I hear, like when I heard about the match with Papadon, he won the title, I regretted every minute not being able to get up there and see that. He's a good guy, he's funny, and he's a great performer, and I hope he gets well soon and gets back.
That's for sure.
DDP yoga, baby.
But what I want to do now is go to the Mystery Men with This Is How the Magic Happens. It's been a few weeks since we've had the pleasure of the Mystery Men on this very program. But here we go. Off Musica in Masquerada. It is This Is How the Magic Happens.
Mystery Men on HIC Talk Radio. This is How the Magic Happened. Their album at lucha-rock.com. Musica Enmascarada. $9. Buy it now.
That's right. Just go there. Lucha-rock.com or lucharock.bandcamp.com, and you can download it, as Dan said, for $9. And Dan, very impressive. You got the name finally after about
3 months.
6 months of this being released.
You know, I after about 3 months, I decided I should try to learn it and then kept forgetting. This time I made a note.
That's for sure. But I believe, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Are you, in fact, ready?
I am more ready than Kim Kardashian is for her next surgery.
I have no idea what that means. I have no idea whatsoever what that means.
Kim Kardashian and a spelling bee.
Here we go. In front of 6,000 very polite Asians in a place I didn't know existed because I'm an ignorant American.
UFC, teaching you geography since 1993.
UFC, the very first international fight card that you had to pay for on Fight Pass, and, well, I think it delivered on some accounts. In the main event, Jung-Hoon Kim defeating John Hathaway with a very interesting spinning back elbow knockout. Third round, 1 minute, 2 seconds was the decisive official result. Now, what do you got to say about the fight?
Well, that elbow was the stuff Hollywood puts on the screen. I mean, that's a Jean-Claude Van Damme-type fight scene move. You know, this was an interesting fight in that, you know, Kim obviously was the guy with the name, comes in, pretty much dominates the first round, gets a little hung up with Hathaway in the second round, but in that third round, Hathaway comes out looking for a short elbow, basically misses, and Kim times it perfectly, steps in, spins around, back elbow, Hathaway is out cold. There is no more definitive result than that.
Very true. Now, another one that I think fans were interested in was Matt Mitrione, Meathead, as he's affectionately called, defeating Sean Jordan with some 1 second to spare in the first round. What do you got to say about Meathead?
You know, he didn't look very impressive. I thought this was a very sloppy fight from the get-go. Neither guy was terribly aggressive. Neither guy was thrown with any kind of technicality at all. Mitrione didn't manage to get Jordan up against the fence a few times, kind of push him down, just kind of keep him up there and lay on him, grind him out. But in the end, it was with 1 second left, Mitrione lands that one punch that hits the button and knocks Jordan down for the count. And granted, there's only 1 second left, but Damir Goliath had seen enough, and it was over. You know, does this raise Mitrione's stock? Not at all. He's still very raw, very untechnical, and quite frankly, I don't see him going much further, but he's a guy people like to watch. He can get some good knockouts, so he'll continue on in the UFC being kind of a sub-gatekeeper in the heavyweight division.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Because there was a lot going on here that we weren't privy to because of course, this was the finals of the China Ultimate Fighter. So anything else you want to make note of?
I think the Yui Chul Nam and the versus Kazuki Tokudomi was a very, very good fight. This was a fight where Nam came out just unloading on Tokudomi for the first round, 10-8, 10-7, whatever you want to call it. It was all Nam. And then in the second round, Tokudomi comes back with a shot, double leg takedown, and basically, you know, keeps Nam down for the entire round, you know, managing to land some short shots, just controlling the fight from there. And then in round three, it was a very back-and-forth fight. It looked like Nam had punched himself out in the first round because he could get some spurts going, but couldn't really seem to get over the hump to get any kind of consistent offense going. Tokodome, again, hitting his takedowns, landing some shots on the ground. In the end, split decision for Tokodome, but on that, as the preliminary card ends, that was a very good fight to watch. The ultimate welterweight, the final on the main card for the tough China was kind of a boring fight. I wasn't very impressed with it at all. Lipeng Zhang won, but you know, whether or not he's going to go anywhere in the UFC, I don't see it. I mean, there were two kind of very generic fighters in my view. You know, Nam Phan got dominated, as we kind of talked about last week. He looked pretty bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I don't know why they would keep him around at this point. I really don't. I don't think he's giving them any kind of value at all. And other than that, the Albert Chang An Ying Wang fight ended in a doctor stoppage at the end of the first round. And it looks like the doctor just stopped it before the bell could ring for the second round because Chang's eye was swollen shut bad. I mean, this was just, you know, as swollen as you could get. And there was no way he was seeing out of it. It looked like a good stoppage. I mean, and it was all really done in the last 30 seconds of the fight. Just a flurry at the end and ultimately ended up swelling that eye shut. It was kind of interesting in that, you know, if you missed the card, did you miss a lot? No. But, I mean, if you watch the card, if you have some time and you have fight pass, you know, I would check out the Nam Tokodome fight and certainly the Don Hyung Kim knockout. Absolutely.
All right. Now, of course, this is fight week again. It's another fight pass. They're going overboard now with fight pass and these exclusives. In the main event, we have Alexander Gustafsson coming off his loss to John Jones. He's taken on a journeyman, it would seem. What are you going to say about this one?
This is a really interesting fight. You got a guy in Gustafsson who, as looked very impressive. I thought won the fight against John Jones.
I did too.
You know, going up against a guy in Jimmy Manoa who people don't know a lot about, but is undefeated. He's got a heck of a resume with knockouts. He has won almost every single fight of his by knockout, with the exception of one submission. This is a guy with a lot of power. You know, he's got a lot of tools that could give Gustafsson some real issues. That being said, we've seen Gustafsson go up against a very dangerous opponent in John Jones, and he fought a smart fight. He didn't end up in the victory column in that fight, but he still, you know, fought with very cerebrally, used his well-rounded skills to score points against John Jones. This is an interesting one, though, because this is one that if Manoa gets on him and manages to land, he could very well put Gustafsson out. There's a very good chance of that, but I think Gustafsson is too crafty. I think he's too well-rounded and too skilled. I think he will be able to – I mean, he's going to know Manoa is coming for that. He's going to come for the TKO. So I would expect Gustafsson to try to take Manoa down and get him down and either set up a submission or just keep him there and score points. He could also probably try to use his movement and try to just kind of outpoint Manoa on the feet, not let him get that power shot. I can see it going both ways. I think Manoa is a talent. I think he's got some very, very good skills and could be a force in this division. I think he's a little early in his career yet. I think Gustafsson takes this in round three. We'll say submission.
Going over Manoa's record, I'm struck by one win against Anthony Ray. TKO by retirement I guess the guy just gave it up after the first round and retired from the sport of MMA. I have to go with you on this as well. I'm going to go with Gustafsson as well.
He didn't have the nerve to retire. That's just what they say when you quit the fight.
He was just done. Yeah. That's it.
He's got two like that.
No more.
He's got Cyril Diabate. Diabate did the same thing.
Wow. That says a lot.
Yeah. The dude's got some power.
Definitely. Now, the co-main event is very interesting, I do believe. It's Michael Johnson taking on Melvin Gallard. Melvin Gallard, he's one of those guys that's around. He has an impressive resume, but he just can't get up that ladder. Where do you see this one? Michael Johnson's kind of hot lately.
Yeah, Michael Johnson is on a roll. Last couple of fights I talked about him and say, I don't know if I'm convinced that Michael Johnson is legit. And he has now turned me around on that after his dominating performance against Gleison Tibau and certainly his win over Joe Lauzon. I think he is on the way up. He's finally putting his career together and putting some much-needed wins together. Going up against Melvin Gallard, and you know, we know the young assassin. We've seen him. He can knock guys out. He can submit guys when he comes to fight. It's really about which Melvin Gallard comes to fight. If Melvin's head is in his game, he's as good a fighter as anyone in the UFC. If it's not, then, you know, he goes down spectacularly. And we've seen that time and time and again. He goes up against Jamie Varner, Donald Cerrone, Jim Miller, Joe Lauzon, those type of guys. He crumbles to submissions, to KOs, whatever it is. But then he comes back and knocks out Mac Danzig. He's been around. This guy's got a ton of fights. Just doesn't know which one to show up. And if he's got his act together, he is dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. This one is a very tough one for me to call. I like Gallard as much as I've been saying Michael Johnson is getting his wins together, I think Melvin Gallard has the better skills, has the better explosiveness, the better opportunity to win if his head is in the game. So I'm going to pick Melvin Gallard by round two, but this could easily go Michael Johnson's way by decision if Melvin is not in it.
Definitely. This is really a toss-up. Now, Brad Pickett, he's taking on Neil Seary. Don't know much about Neil Seary.
Well, you probably don't, because he is making his UFC debut. Brad Pickett was supposed to fight Ian McCall, but Uncle Creepy got hurt, and this is the replacement with Neil Seary, a relative unknown.
Two of the creepiest guys on the UFC roster, quite frankly. Pickett with that mustache and McCall just being Uncle Creepy, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, you McCall is McCall. He's fun, though. This is Pickett making his debut at flyweight, so he's going to be a bigger guy coming into this division. We haven't seen him at this weight class. We haven't seen how he's going to perform with the weight cut. It's interesting, but at bantamweight, he was a dangerous fighter, and you look at this going up against a guy who's never fought in UFC. His record at 13-9 is mediocre at best. I think Pickett's got the skills all the way on this one. I would pick and granted, I don't know a lot about Neil Seary. He could be the second coming, but at 13-9, I doubt it. I'm going to pick Brad Pickett. Certainly at this weight class, he's going to be more powerful. I'm going KO in round two.
KO in round two. Anything else on this card you want to talk about? There are a few other, of course, Gunnar Nelson is fighting. Cyrilli Diabate is fighting. Anything else you want to – and Davy Grant, actually, from the last Ultimate Fighter, the American version of the Ultimate Fighter, is fighting on this card as well. Anything you want to pick out and highlight?
I think Gunnar Nelson is a guy I'm watching as a possible contender in the future, certainly a welterweight. He is a guy that has a lot of skills, looked very impressive in his two last appearances. He's got really good grappling and some pretty wild striking. He looked like a guy that I was really interested in seeing advance, but he's been hurt for a while, so he's been out for almost a year, over a year now at this point. So we haven't seen him since he beat Jorge Santiago way back when in February 2013. I think this is a guy who could go places if he's healthy. Let's see how he comes back after this ring rust. I think, you know, I would pick him because I think he's a very well-rounded fighter. He is undefeated except for one draw he had early in his career. You know, that being said, Omari Akhmedov, you know, he's a guy who's also only lost once, and that was a long time ago. You know, who knows? I mean, these Russian guys can seem to come over to the UFC and just throw guys around, suplex them, and if he is in this mold, I didn't see his last UFC fight, but if he is in this mold, Nelson could be in for some trouble. I mean, looking through his record, he's got TKO wins, he's got submission wins. That's exactly what we expect out of these Russian wrestlers and just powerful guys who can knock guys out and throw them around. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to pick Gunnar Nelson in that fight. I think that's a very, very interesting fight I want to see. Other than that, the prelims did not overwhelm me on this card. You know, as you mentioned, Ciryl Diabate, is a guy who has, you know, some pretty good kickboxing, so you know, he could put on a show potentially. As you said, Davey Grant, who coming off the last Ultimate Fighter, but you know, the one thing I saw, Louis Godineau, a guy who also on the Ultimate Fighter, who was coming into flyweight and just has not had a lot of success. Now fighting, he's going to be on the first match of the card, so that's, you know, how far has he fallen? It's pretty, needs a win badly. So hopefully he's fighting a guy coming in at 1-2 in the UFC who he can actually beat. So we'll see.
Now, next week, of course, we're going to be talking in depth as we talk about UFC 171. There is a welterweight championship up for grabs. And that is, of course, Johnny Hendricks and Robbie Lawler. I'm going to make an early pick right now and go with Robbie. Ruthless Robbie Lawler.
Really?
I am.
Interesting call. There's a lot to like on this card.
Yeah, and then you have a welterweight title eliminator, so you have Condit and Woodley. That is surprising, Woodley. They must have a lot of faith after that knockout, after some impressive wins for Woodley. He's really turned around his game. I've gone on this show saying how much I disliked him. Until I actually got to see the last couple of his fights, I think Koscheck is still waking up from that KO.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. So that's a title eliminator. And then you have Diego Sanchez making his comeback. Unfortunately, Jake Shields will be on the card.
Going up against Hector Lombard, he could get knocked out in a hurry.
I hope so. And then you have OSP, who I really did enjoy in Strikeforce. I think he was one of the gems of Strikeforce, taking on Krylov. So that's interesting. And Raquel Pennington, you got a lot going on.
Oh, yeah, Raquel Pennington, Jessica Andrade. I'm liking that Dennis Bermudez fight. Bubba McDaniel. Will Campuzano from Legacy is on this card.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Lots to talk about. Lots to see in that card.
Can't wait till next week. Now, what I want to do now is shift gears. Of course, on Thursday, the curse of MMA news coming out on a Thursday, as we always say. TRT banned in Nevada. Now, what is TRT and all that? What I did, I got a clip. Omega and I will talk about it afterwards. This was the announcement directly after. It was on ESPN Go, which is their .com service. So here is immediately after this historic, and of course UFC followed suit, but all the information's in here, and our reaction on the other side.
ESPN.com headlines, I'm Dario Melendez, and it was a landmark day in the world of combat sports. The Nevada State Athletic Commission banning the exemption for fighters using testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT. And with more on this, we welcome in Brett Okamoto, our MMA reporter. And Brett, what more can you tell us about this decision?
Well, there's really not a lot else to tell. What you want to take away from this is that testosterone replacement therapy is no more in the state of Nevada, and it is no more in the UFC. I texted UFC President Dana White immediately after the news, and he said that the UFC would follow suit. When the UFC has events outside of the country, they typically self-regulate. They test their own fighters. They hand out their own suspensions. And in the past, testosterone replacement therapy, if fighters showed that they needed it, they could receive an exemption, which actually allowed them to use testosterone during training camps. But now, because of this ruling by the Nevada Commission, they can't do it anymore. They can't do it in Nevada moving forward. They can't do it in a UFC event that's regulated outside of the country. And you got to believe that this sets a precedent that other commissions will follow, and eventually we'll see that TRT, which had become sort of a hot-button issue in mixed martial arts, will vanish completely.
And why was the ruling made?
Well, the ruling was made just because a lot of people were starting to use it. You know, if you follow this story at all, you know that testosterone replacement therapy is something that not a high population of people in the general population needs. You know, it's just not something that you see a lot. It's hypogonadism, where the body just does not produce testosterone naturally, and so you need these injections. It's rare. And in the fighting world, more and more guys were coming out and saying they needed it. One reason they were saying they needed it was because we take blows to the head, and that alters the body's ability to make testosterone. And that is not scientifically proven quite yet. And as a physician in the meeting today at the Nevada Commission brought up, if that's the case, if that's why people are taking testosterone, because their body can no longer produce it anymore because they've taken so much damage, their career should be over anyway. We shouldn't be juicing these guys back up so they can take more damage. So it was a thing that really came along over the last 3 years. It got really popular with fighters trying to get on it. I think it blindsided the commissions a little bit, and now they're playing catch-up, and they realize that this is just not something that belongs in combat sports.
Now, Brett, another big question that everybody's going to want to know is, how is this ruling going to impact the upcoming UFC middleweight title fight between Vitor Belfort and Chris Weidman?
Well, in a perfect world, it shouldn't impact it at all. All it means is that Vitor Belfort, who is a guy who has used testosterone replacement therapy in the past, he's been approved for it in Brazil, it shouldn't affect him. You know, he just doesn't use it. He comes into the fight, and he fights without the use of testosterone replacement therapy. It's not as though these guys are completely just wiped out and they can't fight. They argue that that they just don't have the energy and the strength to get through a training camp. But if it's taken away from them, I don't believe anyone's going to really retire based off of this ruling. The UFC, like I said, has already gotten behind it. So anybody who has a conspiracy theory of that the UFC is now going to move the fight to a place that would allow Vitor Belfort to use testosterone, I really don't see that happening. Now, Vitor was drug tested in Nevada the last time he was here for an award show. We'll have to find out what the results of that test was, but other than that, it really shouldn't have an impact. The fight should go on as planned, as long as Vitor agrees to face Chris Weidman without the use of testosterone.
That's Brett Okamoto with the latest on the Nevada State Athletic Commissioning banning TRT. And remember, for your latest headline, keep right here on ESPN.com. I'm Dario Melendez.
Now, things did, in fact, change. UFC 173, the main event, has been changed. Vitor Belfort steps aside. Probably the hottest fighter last year that's not named Uriah Faber. Stepping aside, Lyoto Machida's in, getting a middleweight title shot. Of course, he's a former light heavyweight champion in UFC. So things have already changed. Omega, your thoughts? TRT is gone from the UFC.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good move in the long run. I mean, it just eliminates the question. You know, it does at this point now if you don't get an exemption, you can't be accused. If you're using it, now you're cheating. It's against the rules. You know, I'm not convinced that TRT necessarily meant anything. I think it depends on how much you take of it. Can you manage to use it in a way that makes you more effective? Possibly. If you overuse it, just like anything else, you can overdo anything. That being said, I think it's a good idea that it's gone, just because, you know, we're enough of this. I mean, as they were talking in the clip, if you're not producing testosterone naturally, if you're not there, you really shouldn't be fighting at this point. You should be dealing with that separately and not trying to have an elite athletic career through artificial means. You know, not everybody can be a champion because your body doesn't work.
Well, what if you are an older fighter such as Dan Henderson?
No.
No?
What about it?
Time to go.
I mean, yeah. Everybody gets old. I mean, we talk about it. We talk about it for fighters much younger than Dan Henderson. Everybody's got a time. There's a finite period of time in which you can fight. And if you go beyond that, then you risk serious injury. And using artificial methods to prop it up, you know, we don't know what else is going on. Yeah, sure, you're able to maintain muscle. You're able to maintain cardio. You're able to do all these things. You know, that you probably might not have been able to do without TRT, but you know, what other things are you damaging? You know, you're setting yourself up for more head trauma. You're setting yourself up for more injuries, potentially. I don't know. I have no scientific basis for anything. But you know, are you setting yourself up for more injuries? Are you, you know, your body was not made to do that. Your body was made to age out, and at that point in your life, you're supposed to slow down. You know, I don't think it's needed. And I don't think we want it in mixed martial arts, certainly.
One person who has, obviously, Vitor Belfort came out and stepped out of the title fight that he so richly earned, whether or not it was TRT. I guess we'll find out his next fight when he's clean.
Just to be said, I mean, he was on TRT. He was following the rules when he was. He had a legitimate exemption at the time.
Well, sure. But...
So, you know, he wasn't cheating at that time. You can argue whether or not it was we can argue whether or not it was the right thing to do, but he was following the rules in that case.
Well, sure. At the time, there were exemptions and they were granted, and I'm just making note that it did affect him that he stepped out of the title fight. Now, another person who came out earlier tonight, I do believe, on Fox Sports 1 is Chael Sonnen, one of their analysts. Here's what he had to say.
Not for that, but Chael. People think about you. You have a lot of fans. People know you use TRT. Everybody wants to know, what does this mean for you and your fighting career?
Yeah, and you know what? The first thing I need to do is reserve the right to change this answer I'm going to give a month from now. There's a lot of moving parts. I don't have all the information. The bottom line is testosterone is out. Now, as it relates to Vitor, I think this was a very genuine and sincere thing for him. Here's a problem that I have. A fighter that said 7 days ago, I need TRT or I can't do this, and then all of a sudden goes, well, I'll just stop TRT. I find that very disingenuous. For Vitor to say, look, they've changed the rules, and I, for now at least, need to take myself out, I am potentially in that same field. If this retires, guys, then it retires, guys. The rules are the rules, and the rules need to be followed. I personally, sorry to be long-winded on this, but I'm going through this myself where I've had to stop with testosterone with the hope that we can find a new way to gain results of upping testosterone and staying at a healthy level. If it doesn't work, I may have to stop the sport.
So there you go. Chael Sonnen, of course, getting title opportunities. You could say he's one of the elite fighters of UFC. Debatable. Maybe he talks his way into it. But whatever the case may be, he may have to stop.
Yeah. I mean, and that's okay. That's how it should be.
He has a hell of a broadcasting career ahead of him, though.
Yeah, well, he has options, unlike other people. I mean, I don't know about Vitor having options in that similar case, but
Dana.
Yeah. Look, I mean, this again, we all know that we're gonna all get old, and we're all not gonna be able to do what we could do at 20, and that expectation is fine, and everybody will be fine if you can't do it anymore because you are too old. No one's going to think less of you if that's the case. I understand. I'm not an athlete. I don't quite understand, you know, what goes into the training, what goes into the drive and the determination to be the champion. I get that there's a disconnect there, but I know that I can't do things I could do 10 years ago, and I have to just live with that, and these fighters are going to have to live with that. And as Chael said, if it retires, guys, it retires, guys. That's fine. That's the way it is, and those are the rules.
There you go. The rules have changed. You got to abide by them. Now, I guess you could say, hype coming out from Joe Rogan. Of course, Joe Rogan is the color commentator, for those that don't know, of UFC. He says the next Ronda Rousey fight is going to be huge, and here's what he had to say. It was on K-Rock, and here's what he had to say.
Okay, good point.
It's definitely a one.
Okay. All right. And let's spend a minute talking about the ladies, because there's no one good for Ronda Rousey to fight at this point.
Oh, you're so incorrect.
There?
I wish I could tell you what I know.
Oh,
I wish I could tell you. I know some secret stuff.
Who's out there that we don't know about that's good enough to really challenge her?
You might actually know, but I can't tell you.
Okay,
I can say no more.
Are they in the top 10?
I can say no more than I've already said.
Are they in the top 10?
I will tell you this, and this is a K-Rock exclusive. Within the next probably week or so, a huge announcement will come about women's fighting, and I'll be back in, and we'll talk some more.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Let's talk about it now, though.
Madness. I wish I could. I wish I could, but I would betray the confidence of my friend and employer.
Rod is so fun to watch.
So, a lot of people speculating that finally Cyborg could be in the UFC. Your thoughts?
Yeah, who knows? depends on what Joe Rogan was actually smoking at the time.
That's true, too.
but the biggest fight out there for Ronda Rousey right now is Cyborg.
Definitely. Daddy Dana make it.
Yeah, I mean, that is the biggest fight out there. Everybody wants to see it. Because of the spectacle that it would be. We know Ronda is so dominant in her weight class. She's so much better skilled than every other woman right now. She is the number one woman in the world, as far as I'm concerned, pound for pound. But Cyborg was and is dominant. She is a wrecking ball. She will swarm you. She will pepper you with punches, strong punches, and she will overwhelm you. She just dominates women. It makes all the sense in the world that fight happens. Now, the only problem being, can Cyborg get to a weight where they can agree to? And can she get, I mean, she has said she's going to try to get down to 135 this year, and Invicta is going to try to help her with that. If Cyborg can make the weight, they'll have a fight. I think that's good. I think that's kind of what Dana is saying, is like, you need to get to 135. And if you can get there, we'll talk about it. That's what he said before. Now, I don't know what has changed, if anything has indeed changed. But it makes sense in the world that Cyborg Rousey is the money right now that will sell pay-per-views. I just question whether Cyborg can get down that weight. Now, are people willing to accept a catch weight fight? You know, Ronda at 140 or 145. You know, Ronda's fought at 145 before, so that's not a deal. Certainly, we've seen Cyborg can make 145. She is the 145-pound champion in Invicta, so it makes more sense to me to have it at fight at 145. Let's just escape the pretense. The 135 is going to be hard for Cyborg to make. So let's just make it a catch weight. Just put the money where everybody's mouth is, and let's just have the fight. If you want a super fight, there it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think it would gain a lot of interest. I think it would bring in casual fans and help out the overall pay-per-view.
Now, the other question is it Gina Carano?
See, that I don't think would be that big. I think Gina had her time, and I don't think that would be as much of a draw. I think that would get the hardcore fans, like myself and you, into it. I don't think it would necessarily get the casual fans. I think the casual fans would get behind the Cyborg. I mean, she does have some mainstream appeal, don't get me wrong.
She's got the mainstream appeal. I think she could make it. I mean, I think it's not as relevant a fight because, let's face it, Gina hasn't fought since 2009 when she lost to Cyborg. So, you know, does it make sense for Gina to come out of retirement and fight Ronda Rousey?
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't in my mind. And I think Gina would get wrecked, quite frankly. And Gina, we know Gina can't make 135. She had a hell of a time trying to make 145. So that's it sounds good in theory, but I just don't see it happening. And certainly Gina's off making movies, and why would she come back to fighting if she hasn't been fighting for the last 5 years?
I can definitely agree with that. Now, moving on, shifting gears. Dan, are you there with me?
Yes, sir. I'm always here with you gentlemen.
Now, I did want to discuss probably the most significant thing that happened on Monday Night Raw, and it was this moment. Our thoughts on the other side. Now, of course, if you don't know what happened, there was a movement to hijack Raw. So what did the bigwigs in WWE do? They played CM Punk's music, and 40 seconds later, after Cult of Personality started playing, out comes Paul Heyman to crush that crowd and really put them in their place. Now, there was a promo that followed, but I just want your thoughts on perhaps the greatest troll in wrestling history, Paul Heyman. Dan, you first.
I thought it was great. I'll get this out there, first of all. I really still think everybody's in on it. I think eventually this is going to come back and CM Punk will be there. That's just how I feel. I've been wrong before, and if I'm wrong, that's fine. The perfect person to send out there was Paul Heyman. If you ever need a work shoot or especially a shoot, send Paul Heyman out there. The guy is a poet on that microphone. And it was hook, line, and sinker. Everything he said was awesome. It worked, weaved it right in to continue on to the night, into the storyline. I loved it. And I knew it wasn't going to be Punk. I was like, it's Chicago. It makes too much sense that he's coming back. If there, whatever the case is, I know it's not him, and I didn't expect Heyman. I thought it was great, but I still think it's going to be end up being a work event. Somehow it's going to be a work.
You said that four times, Dan. And I counted.
It's going to be a work thing.
Now, work. Omega, I lost my train of thought. But what your thoughts on that, Omega?
Well, I thought it was.
Is it a work, Omega? I need to know.
I don't think it's a work. No,
it's a work.
No, it's not.
Job. It's a job.
Yes, it is. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think it's time to.
Dave Meltzer came out with a report on Saturday or Friday, whenever Dave Meltzer decides to open up his God-given voice and tell the masses what is going on. He said, CM Punk is returning. It's like Dogma, Dan. I know you're going to get this reference. But when Dave Meltzer speaks, you can't listen. It's like the voice of wrestling journalism gods.
Your head literally explodes.
It does. You just can't hear that voice of Dave Meltzer. He came out with a report on Friday saying that CM Punk, I have it on good source. I don't believe it, of course. I don't believe it, but I have it on good source, and this guy's never been wrong. CM Punk's returning in Chicago. Now, with everything there, he gave himself the out, you see. Oh, well, I didn't believe it anyway, but
yeah,
I heard it from a good source.
I call bull crap.
Yeah, so anyway, you have this report coming out. You have all this nonsense. Just your thoughts on Heyman and the situation. Is it a work?
It is not a work. I think I think we have to come to terms with the fact that CM Punk is probably done. That doesn't preclude him coming back somewhere down the future, but certainly in the near term, I think he's done. I think he's burned that bridge for at least for now. And you know, let's just get over it. That's unfortunate for fans, I think, but it is what it is. Now, Paul Heyman did exactly what he needed to do in that promo. I think he came out, he played right into the crowd, and basically turned it back on him. And you know, as you said, a great troll job. I thought it was great. I thought it was really good.
Here's the lighter part of that promo. And selling the Undertaker match with Brock Lesnar.
The fact is, I want to see the streak taken away from the Undertaker. And there's only one man on the face of the planet that can do it. I want that streak beaten. I want the Undertaker stripped of the streak. I want the streak conquered. And there's only one man that can conquer that streak, and he's my best friend in the world. He is the conqueror. He is the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar. Unlike some people, I don't make claims that I can't back up. Last week, The Undertaker attacked me because I believe, yes, I believe in my heart, that that man is scared to death of me. There have been many of foe that have tried to conquer the streak, and all of them have failed to do so. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and your own little baby boy, CM Punk. Failures. At WrestleMania 30, the streak is going to get conquered by me, Brock Lesnar!
Absolutely ecstatic statement by Lesnar. Upset at what happened to him last week at the hands of The Undertaker, and guys, he made no bones about it.
Lesnar does not like to be upstaged.
I don't think he likes to be stabbed in the hand either during a contract signing, but that's besides the point.
I now, often like to get stabbed in the hand.
Yeah, I mean, just have a little decorum, why don't you, at these contract signings. It's just ridiculous. I've never seen one go off without a hitch.
They should do on, like, the contract signings one night, and they both walk in, they sign the contract and leave.
Yeah,
hey,
nothing happens.
Wait a minute.
Nothing happens. Tables don't get flipped over on anybody. I was watching a network, Andre the Giant and Hogan contract signing. Table flips over on Hogan. Worst bump I've ever seen a man with a table, but nonetheless. Nonetheless, now, I was thinking, this is just me pontificating in my brain, and I was thinking, if you want to bring back CM Punk, now, Paul Heyman has the distinction, I do want to make claim of this as well, Paul Heyman has the distinction of being the only manager in history now that will manage someone back-to-back WrestleManias going against the streak. That's number one.
Ooh.
Now, going along with that claim, who did he manage last year? Chris.
I believe he was CM Punk.
CM Punk? He managed CM Punk at WrestleMania 29. Why don't you have the streak end and the help of CM Punk?
Ooh.
There you go.
Work.
It very well could be a work. If that does happen.
The show.
What?
You should book the show.
Yeah, whatever. People don't listen to my
opinion. At any time, if CM Punk ever comes back, it kind of becomes a work, right?
It would. And anytime, if he does come back, oh, it was a work, I knew it. But that's neither here nor there.
You killed my idea! Come on!
He wanted to be the smartest man in the room. We took it away from him.
I knew it, guys. See, I told you 3 years ago, remember?
He comes back to get inducted in the Hall of Fame. And
I told you guys, nah, it's work.
Work.
It was a work.
Oh, you blasted kids. If it wasn't for you medley kids, I would have been fine.
So, anything else happen on Raw that we want to discuss besides epic trolling throughout the night?
I thought it was an okay show. Nothing really to talk about.
How about you? Wyatt was good.
Yeah.
Well, that was good. I'm over the Kane thing. Again, third time this in the last 3 years.
Yeah. Was this Seth Rollins coming out party? He looked awesome.
Seth Rollins is awesome. He's a former NXT champion, former Ring of Honor champion. I think he has the goods. He's kind of been kind of forgotten in this whole Shield thing.
But he really came out this week and really showed, you know, those crazy jumps and having to walk out on Reigns and Ambrose. I thought it was potentially his coming out party. And I hope it is. I always preferred Rollins over the other two.
Does Shield make it to WrestleMania?
I think they break up at WrestleMania or they have a triple threat.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, triple
against each other, so
cool.
Hasn't been announced yet, but we'll see. We also have so far announced for WrestleMania is Randy Orton against Batista, and the fans are going to crap on that. My goodness, I hope they don't put that on last. And Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, those are the two announced matches right now, and you can of course catch that on your WWE Network or pay-per-view if you want to spend $60 or $70 or whatever it's going to be. But if that's your thing. Now, I do want to bring up, if we're done with Raw, are we done with Raw?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
I do want to bring up the fact that we did, in fact, start the On the Road series. Of course, On the Road series is a documentary. We're looking at the life of an independent wrestler. In this case, it is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Matt Tremont and I have become very close in the past year or so, and great guy. But when you think of Matt Tremont, you think of the duality of the character of who Matt Tremont is as an individual and who the Bulldozer is, and that's what we're going to try to show. Tomorrow we're actually taping some more segments. We have his girlfriend, Chrissy. We're going to sit down with her. We're going to sit down for the first time with Matt Tremont. But principal photography started on Saturday. We went to Extreme Rising, the show that was canceled. And we had the opportunity. And this was, I'll talk about it after I play the audio of this. But it was a pretty big thing for me. And we had a chance to talk with Extreme, and he still is the Extreme Rising champion, Stevie Richards. Of course, Stevie Richards, a WWE, former WWE superstar, right to censor. He was in WCW, part of Raven's Flock there. And, of course, he's an ECW original. But I had an opportunity to catch him in front of I guess you could say it's a famous arena. Dan, do you think that's a famous arena?
Yeah, it's slightly famous.
Slightly famous.
Yeah, a little bit.
But here's the audio of that interview. You can also find this on YouTube. I'll link it on all the appropriate pages and the episode as well. So here, I got a very impromptu interview with Stevie Richards. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and I'm here with the Extreme Rising Champion. It is Stevie Richards. Of course, today's March 1st. The show has been rescheduled for Extreme Rising, and we're coming back, though, on April 25th. Stevie, just your thoughts, the thoughts of this building, the thoughts of being champion.
Well, the number one thought is I wish I was inside the building right now. It's probably a little bit warmer. But, you know, unfortunate circumstances, and we're out here right now in all seriousness on March 1st, just trying to make it right with the fans. There's drinks here. We're doing free autographs. Steve O'Neill from Extreme Rising is giving out free DVDs. Just trying to make it right. You know, that was the spirit of ECW back in the day, too, trying to make the fans happy.
Never lied to the fans.
Wasn't always perfect, but the intention and the heart of the people, the talent that's here right here, Luke Hawks, Blue Meanie, guys from the Monster Factory, everybody come out here just to show that we all care about the fans and we want them to come back on April 25th, where, you know, they're juggling around the card trying to figure out a way, because I was supposed to defend the title against the Sabu, which is probably the biggest match of my career. So it's like that thing where I've seen it in one UFC thing where they keep trying to play. You know what it is? To me, it's like Mayweather and Pacquiao. They keep saying they're going to have
it's
the match.
Happen, yeah.
Not quite. I hope we don't drag it on years like they did. Like me and Sabu finally fighting. But, you know, I felt like I was peaking right now, that I was in the best shape of my life, that I was ready to go, that I had enough courage to face Sabu in the ring after all these years. But then now I have to wait one more month. So the suspense is killing me. I don't know about the fans, but I just want to get in the ring and fight Sabu.
I certainly think that for long-time ECW fans, I think that's a match that a lot of people in fact do want to see. Not just yourself, but a lot of people. But just go more about Extreme Right, what the promotion itself and this title right here means to you.
Well, this means a lot, because this, as my song says, rebirthing, you know, it's a rebirth of Stevie Richards. And I didn't exactly on a national stage with WWE or even in WCW show what I could really do. You know, everybody knew I was talented, but I never really went as far as people had predicted I would. In Extreme Rising, nobody expected me to really do much of anything, but I fought from the ground up, shed the image of the BWO, shed the past images, broke out just as myself with my wrestling ability. And the good thing about me, and I'm very blessed by God to have the ability to not only be a veteran in the business and have that 23 years, but also be able to wrestle the young guys like Luke Hawks, Papa Don, Rey Mysterio, all these guys from anywhere. So I think I transcend, in a way, both generations, from the veterans to the newer guys. And when I can't perform at that level, obviously this isn't going to be here much longer.
Yeah.
Because if I get to a point where I'm, you know, Sabu's in that category too. You have a match with me and Sabu. We've been around. It is sort of a nostalgic match, because it's way back when this building was the ECW Arena in 1996. But you have two guys that can still go and still perform and not disappoint the fans.
What do you think that rebirth, where did you get that rebirth from?
I just always doing the right thing, making the right choices. Not always the right choices, should I say, but all when it came to, you know, this business and making the choices outside, the decision to be clean, to be straight edge. Because, quite honestly, a few of the guys have been straight edge before CM Punk. He's not the first wrestler to never do drugs or drink.
Yeah, a lot of guys don't know that.
I've been there since 71, so I've been doing it, yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, 71, I'm old. Yeah, 42 years old.
I didn't know that. Well, you were straight edge that entire time, because you were hanging out with guys like Raven and
it's amazing.
Like that.
I mean, that's what I mean. I was in the thick of the partying scene. Even in WWE, there was a lot of guys that obviously would drink and there was drugs involved and stuff like that. But I, you know, it was like a fork in the road where you can either go left to do the drinking and the partying and everything, or you can go right and play some video games. I went that way instead of video games.
I think a lot of guys this current generation that's coming up
ahead of my time.
But they're doing that
now. I got ostracized for it. Now all of a sudden it's cool. So
yeah, your Daniel Bryan's, people like that, they love the video games. They don't do that lifestyle. So that's amazing. Just wrap it up in one soundbite, pretty much. What fans can look forward to on April 25th?
I've been practicing soundbites. I'm still not good after 23 years. I just think what you're going to see, the number one thing is heart and passion. Heart and passion, and a roster that really cares about the fans being out here in the 20, 30 degree weather, wanting to meet them and say, hey, we're sorry, you know, and we're going to make it up to you, and we're going to have even better action on the 25th and 26th.
Stevie, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And
I didn't wear gloves. I'm from South Florida now, so I can't prepare for this.
But thank you. Thank you again. And I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, for Moose Knuckle Entertainment and HIC Talk Radio. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you.
Now, of course, we were there for specifically for the Tremont project on the road with Matt Tremont. And when I say we, that is, of course, myself, Donnie, and Justin. Donnie,
and Justin are, of course, part of Moose Knuckle Entertainment. They're up and coming. This is the first major project that they are doing, and I'm honored to be a part of it, quite frankly. Now, we're there. I wrote to – I'll tell the story on air. It's kind of funny. I wrote to Steve O'Neill. He is the owner of Extreme Rising, and I wrote to him one time to see if we could get – because this is before the show was canceled, of course. Well, not canceled, but rescheduled. He didn't find out that the show was going to be – that the building wouldn't be ready for permits and everything. He didn't find out until Thursday. He made the announcement on Friday. Now, I wrote him on Sunday to see if we could get in there, have some backstage access for this documentary that we're doing on Matt Tremont. Now, Facebook has this wonderful feature that will let you know when someone has read your message. So I saw he read it, and he didn't reply. Now, granted, I didn't realize everything that was going on behind the scenes, that he was having problems with the building. So on Thursday, in the midst of all this, I wrote him another, you could say somewhat more curt letter,
boy,
to see if he, to see where we stood, if we could actually get access. It wasn't bad. It was just more to the point. Instead,
listen, mother effer, if you don't have time for me.
No, I
no,
don't.
Okay.
You know I'm the dean of credibility.
Do you know who I am?
No, it wasn't like that at all. But the first line was, Mr. O'Neill, I noticed you read the first message and didn't respond. So I go up to him and I introduce myself and I go, Dean Dixon, I wrote you a few times. And he goes, oh, yeah, you're the guy. I'm like, oh, man. And he goes, you know, I didn't even read that second one because I didn't want to read the second one and have you, because you can not open the entire message and still see, like, the first couple of lines. He goes, I didn't want to open up the second one and then have you write me another one and say there was a third one. So that, but by the end of the night, basically how the Stevie thing came together, we got Steve O'Neill. We got an interview with him about Matt. You know, why did you pick Matt? The story of Matt Tremont, how he's a humble kid, but in the ring he is a brutal monster, pretty much. So just speaking on that, and then we're like, hey, do you want to do something for Extreme Rising? Just, you know, do a quick video, say come back on the 25th. And he says, no, I really don't like doing that sort of thing, but Stevie will do it.
I will.
So, well, no, Stevie was more than happy to do it. So he goes, Stevie, waves him over, and I turn to Justin, and I go, this is happening right now? And he's like, you got to go. You know Justin, his facials.
Dude, just go with it.
He's like, yeah, I guess it is. So Stevie comes over, and he's obviously a veteran, 23 years in the business. So I say to him, he comes over, he's ready, he got the title, he was all set. I look at him and I said, hey, Stevie, sir, thanks for doing this. What I'll do, I'll intro it and then I'll throw it to you. He goes, no, I hate doing that. I said, oh, okay. So he goes, we're going to have a conversation.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm going to have a conversation with you now. So he says, yeah, I just don't like doing promos. They just seem so fake. I hate doing promos. Okay, I guess we'll – so again, I turned to Justin, and he just gave me that kind of shrug with the facial.
I can see it.
Exactly.
I can see it right now.
So I'm like, okay, this is happening. So I compose myself, and then you see what happened there. But amazing follow – Stevie at Michael Manna, and that's go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just, it sounded great. It sounded natural. It sounded like you wanted to be there.
He did. He did.
It's great.
But you can follow Stevie at Michael Manna, and that's MANNA on Twitter. And please follow Extreme Rising. Support what they're doing. It's a great roster. Find them at Extreme Rising on Twitter. And Steve O'Neill, great guy. Suffice it to say, we will be able to get some backstage access with a few interviews with some people that perhaps Mr. Trima is wrestling that evening. And if you know who he's wrestling, that would be Balls Mahoney. Get some interviews there. And just an amazing thing, and I'm glad we went out, because it's a long story. That's a story for another time of how the day almost didn't start. But suffice it to say, it was wonderful and a great experience. And like I said, tomorrow we're getting some more footage. But more to the point, today, another venture I'm involved with is Double Stomp Video. Now, Double Stomp Video is a very new venture. Now, what they're going to do, they're going to put out independent shoot videos. Of course, everyone knows of RF Video, but they go for the top tier guys. They go for your AJ Styles. They go for your Masadas. People of this nature. A lot of guys on the lower rungs, they might have a great following, but they don't have that outlet, because RF Video is not going to go up to, or Smart Mark or whoever, I don't want to just single out one company, but they're not going to go up to a guy like Xavier Cross and say, hey, we want to get a shoot interview. They're trying to move hundreds of DVDs, not simply, a limited supply. So what Double Stomp Video is doing is giving you a limited supply. I believe the smallest order would be 7 DVDs. What you buy basically from Double Stomp Video this merchandise, and then at a wholesale price, and then you go and there's all different sorts of packages. If you just want a shoot interview, that's X amount of dollars. If you want a shoot video with a best of Capelli, that's another. Obviously, more time involved to get the matches, to get the rights to the matches, that sort of thing. 8x10s are part of this as well in your design, whatever you want to do. So there's a lot of different packages available. It's a wonderful idea, something I pitched previously that went nowhere, unfortunately, but that's neither here nor there. See, my whole idea is if you have...
Exposure?
Well, if you have a company and you just go there, wrestler A, wrestler B's in the ring, you don't know much about these guys. My first person that I pitched was Tank Tolan at the time.
Which would have been great.
A great thing. Former WWE star, Ring of Honor, has a great story. Probably could have got 3-4 hours just on a shoot with him about his time in WWE and that sort of thing. And I believe it leads to becoming more invested in that wrestler that you do this with. So I wanted to do that. It's a great opportunity when this came up. And I have to thank Drew Blood again, because if it were not for Drew Blood, I might not be involved in this venture right now. When the owner of Double Stomp was discussing potential people to include on this, Drew Blood's the one who said, hey, why don't you go?
Yeah, dude, why don't you use Dean Dixon?
Yeah, why don't you use the Dean of Credibility? Dean of Credibility, Dan.
Please. Oh, Dean of Credibility. Gotcha.
Thank you. Yes. So.
Well, you're welcome, Mr. Man.
It's called branding.
It is. It's a hard thing to conceptualize for some people, but so he said, why don't you go after the Dean of Credibility? And there you go. I'm a part of it. But today was the very first shoot sit-down interview with Xavier Cross. If you don't know who Xavier Cross is, first of all, follow him on Twitter. It's XCrossFabulous on Twitter. A great character, but behind that character is a great individual, and we sat down with him today and captured 2 hours and 17 minutes of gold, discussing his career, discussing different promotions he worked for, some disappointments in this business. A two-year hiatus is included with that. A lot of different things that we went through, but when all was said and done, this is what we both had to say about it. Hi, I'm the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can, of course, find me at Folsom County on Twitter. We are here, and we just finished up the first ever Double Stomp Vids shoot interview with Xavier Cross. I'm excited for people to see this product. Xavier, what do you think?
I think if you're interested in learning about the man, the myth, the legend, the sexy Xavier Cross, you need to tune in and pick up this shoot interview when it's on sale, On Point Wrestling, March 15th.
March 15th, of course, that's when it goes on sale. Keep tuned for other appearances that Xavier Cross has. You never know where you might see him pop up.
Pop up.
Indeed. Of course, check out the Twitter, at DoubleStompVids on Twitter. And follow HIAC Talk Radio every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock at HIAC Talk Radio, HIACTalkRadio.com. And Xavier, it was an absolute pleasure. It was, shall I say, fabulous?
It was your pleasure. And yes, fabulous.
So there you have Xavier Cross. Dan, I think you're excited for this product.
Well, first of all, I'm more excited that this stuff that has been talked about behind the scenes for almost a year and a half is finally happening, because I think there's a lot of good material there. There's a lot of guys that have a lot to say, and there's a lot of exposure to be made. I think this is great, and I'm glad that you went to Xavier Cross as the first one, and I'm really glad that this On the Road series is something that's happening now. Justin and Donnie at Moose Knuckle, I love those guys, and there's so many ideas that have been thrown around. I'm just happy that this is happening.
Yes, of course, On the Road, there are several scheduled appearances. Of course, On Point Wrestling on the 15th is one of those appearances where we're going to get some more interviews and footage. Captain Dave is slated for an interview, Dan.
Woo-hoo!
And I know you can't wait for that.
Oh, boy.
We're going to go out to Pittsburgh for Vicious Outcast Wrestling. We have full access there. Bill Molar was very, very generous when I wrote to him and asked if we could have some access. And he said, anything you guys need, you guys have. That includes during Matt's match ringside access as well. So many gracious thanks to Vicious Outcast Wrestling, VOW for short, in the Pittsburgh area. Make sure you check out that show, WrestleMania Weekend, April 5th, as it is spring something, spring assault, I believe it is. And Matt is there. Matt is booked. Highly Entertaining Wrestlers is also there. They are going to go for the tag team titles, Dan. So that's an interesting show. And, of course, Extreme Rising on the 25th. We're getting a lot of stuff here.
It's an exciting time. Like I summed it up, there's going to be so much stuff that's going to come out, and it's going to be great.
Not only that, Dan,
mm-hmm.
I have word from my sources that a certain diva, or should I say queen of hardcore, is interested for this very for a double stomp shoot.
Hmm.
Yes, indeed. I have it on very good sources. But however, the next project should very well be. I'm really looking forward to this, to get in this person's mind, to find out what makes this person tick. The next one, I'm announcing it now. I don't know if I can, but it's going to be Stan the Man Styles.
Yes. That's going to be. Oh, man. That's going to be spectacular. That guy is a character on and off. Behind the stage and on the stage, that guy is a character.
So Stan the Man Styles, looking forward to that. He came up with my favorite catchphrase just this week. Of course, calling Ryan Castellucci biscuit tits.
That was...
perhaps the best moment ever put to digital video. Wonderful, wonderful moment for all involved.
Oh my God.
Make sure you check out CZW Returns this weekend as well. Big match, I think, in the career of somebody we have followed very closely. And just your sentiments on this thought, Dan. Joe Gacy taking on the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer.
Joe Gacy gets a lot of heat. Most of it good, but some of it, it seems to be, he gets a lot of heat when he gets into the ring from the fans. And every time, I said this to him privately, Every time he gets to the ring and I hear the Sloppy Joe chant, he proves them all wrong. Every time. And this is going to be just another step closer to the top for him. I think he's got a lot. He's young. He's got a lot to offer. And this is going to be a great match.
You know what? If you look at WWE, the current landscape, the Switchblade conspiracy, two-thirds is there. I think it's time to put the Switchblade conspiracy back together.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'm talking about Sami Callihan. I'm talking about Jon Moxley, who has become Dean Ambrose, and Joe Gacy. They were, in fact, a faction. Look it up. Interesting, interesting time for CZW during that time. So two-thirds are there under WWE contract. Why not?
Make it happen.
You know what, Joe
I
has...
click.
Joe has the drive and determination, and I certainly hope he gets that call one day. So Innovator of Violence, Joe Gacy, that's the one I'm looking forward to. Also, you're going to have a Wired TV title match. Devin Moore, the reigning champion, taking on Shane Strickland. And in the main event, Drew Gulak defends against A.R. Fox. So it's another one of those big cards. A lot of action going on. We're going to see the fallout for Loco No More, Chrissy Rivera. She turned her back on Alex Colon, going singles now with Azriel. So a lot going on in CZW. Make sure you check that out. You can also check them on CZW iPay-per-view or IPPV.com if you want to check that out. Or just go to our video and go to the live section. You can pre-order it, I believe, at this point. So, and it's, of course, at the Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey, Dan.
No, it's turning out to be a great venue for wrestling, and CZW has put on great shows in a row the last couple of months, so it's worth the view.
That's for sure. Dan, I tell you what, it's been a heck of a show. Keiko, the Flying Hawaiian, coming back. It's been over a year, another one of those guys. Maybe he didn't know we were around anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, some people don't know we're not around.
Yeah, you know, out of mind, out of sight, I suppose. But
who knew?
Dan, I'll tell you what. Keikoa, wrap that up in a nice, tidy package for me.
Nothing more that I could say earlier. He's one of the best. He's one of the best wrestlers, period. And he's a young guy, another guy who's got many years to give and many great matches. And I just hope it's not as long as – I hope he comes back sooner than later. Get back on track. And more importantly, get back that title.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
For those who don't know, that's right.
Well, obstacles and things of that nature did get in his way. I think it's just going to be one to overcome.
Get past that blood clot, he'll be back before you know it.
I certainly do believe that as well. Omega, we talk some UFC. I'm looking forward, not really this weekend, I'm looking forward to next weekend. That is going to be an interesting card. Johnny Hendricks, do you want to give me an early pick?
I'm picking Hendricks.
Oh.
Picking Hendricks.
I can see.
But, you know, this weekend, though, Gustafson versus Manoa has some pretty hefty implications for the light heavyweight division, so.
That's true. Who's John Jones going up against next? I know he has a fight.
Glover Teixeira.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So we'll see what goes on there. Coming up, when is that?
April, I believe.
Okay. I knew it was coming soon. But so we had some TRT outlawed. Wow. Talked about what's going on with Moose Knuckle Entertainment. And you can find them on the web now. I do want to pitch this. Because they do now have a website, in fact. It's mooseke.com. Follow them on Twitter as well. The same thing. MooseKE. And you can find them on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/MooseKnuckleEntertainment. So make sure you check them out. But Omega, where can the fine people find you?
Follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
DanLaw83 and Obey the Puck at Obey Puck Show.
And you're in a transition with the Facebook right now, so.
Yeah, Facebook, just go to Facebook.com/ObeyThePuck. I'm getting rid of that stupid group thing and making a like page. It's easier to keep track of. Easier to post and just better. And we're going to extensively go over the big moves during the trade deadline this week.
There you go. So that's coming up on Monday. Of course, on the weekend, What's Wrong with Wrestling with Harry Barnett returns, Dan.
So exciting.
Yes, I can't contain myself each first or second Saturday of the month. It's like a party, Dan.
The party.
What time
I
are we slated? Is it 5:30?
It's 5:30. Yeah, 5:30. We're gonna continue and we're gonna basically continue our You Book It WrestleMania, and I guess we'll go over CZW one last time because I like putting over Joe Gacy.
Joe Gacy taking on the Innovator Violence. But, of course, I am the Dean of Credibility Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. You can also find the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio. The website is HIACTalkRadio.com. Make sure you check it out. It is being updated quite more frequently, so please go there. Support us. That's a great thing. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for HIAC Talk Radio or go to the website and click. There are clickable links there that you can get to all the sites that we are on. There's a Pinterest, so you can see everything that I pin.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff going on. And there's a Google page. There's just so many places for us to
And please, share the like page on Facebook. Share if you're on Google Plus, which apparently some people still do, including me, spread the word, have people listen, or I'll kill you.
I don't think that's the most effective means of...
Please do it, please.
...listenership.
Or I'll do what Justin said, I will sleep on your couch in my breathing mask.
That's true, I wouldn't want to see that, personally.
Wouldn't want to see without the breathing mask.
Either way.
You know.
Yeah, either way, I don't think that's interesting. See, now, of course, you can follow Double Stomp videos at Double Stomp Vid, V-I-D, on Twitter. And I already said Moose Knuckle, but I'll tell you what, it's been a great show. Dan, why can't we be friends?
I know what I'm talking about. Why can't we be friends? 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 I know you're waking for the CIA. They wouldn't have you in the mafia.
I want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we stop making it horrible for the older people and the kids?